Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Purdue brushed by UConn on Saturday, keeping its season to an unblemished start as it heads to Notre Dame. A complete breakdown of the weekend and the week ahead coming up on Golden Black Radio. I'm Kyle Charters, Tom Deanhart here now, Brian Newbert in a couple of minutes. All right, Tom, the Boilermakers get an easy victory, at least it was easier than what I expected. I think that you thought Purdue would have a pretty easy time of it, maybe even a little bit easier than what I thought. But, man, Purdue played well and UConn did not, and the result was what we got on Saturday.
Yeah, the first drive for Purdue, three and out, you kind of started wondering, wow, what's going on here? But that was just a mere, very minor hiccup, Kyle, because the next seven possessions, of course, Purdue scored touchdowns. Went in the locker room up 35-0 at the break. Cruz in the second half emptied the bench, 49-0 final. Most lopsided win of the Brom era and one of the most lopsided in years. And, Kyle, the first road shutout of an FBS opponent since, are you ready for this, 1981. I don't even think you were born then, were you?
I was born then. I was two.
I'm sure you remember it. At Northwestern. One of those glorious Northwestern teams that probably went 1-10.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while, to say the least. That was not a good UConn team. But what I thought was most impressive about what Purdue did, Tom, was that, you know, even when the Boilermakers went to their second group and in some cases went to their third group, there was not a lot of drop-off. It tells me, A, that Purdue might be a little bit deeper than what we thought. It tells me, B, that UConn's not very good. It tells me, C, especially in the defensive side of things, that the new coaching staff has been able to put in its system and has some guys out there who can play to that system and can play well. I thought that was a big takeaway from Saturday.
Yeah, and they actually started rotating pretty early on the defensive side of the ball. The third series, there were quite a few new places on the field for Purdue that were non-starters. D.J. Washington was out there, Jack Sullivan, O.C. Brothers, Chris Jefferson. So they were trying to keep some fresh bodies rotated in early on defensively. It didn't really get to rotating bodies defensively until later in that game, the first week against Oregon State. So they were mindful of it this week. Obviously, like you said, the goings on the field made things maybe a little easier for the staff to sub in, but still, you're always going to need fresh bodies and depth if you're going to survive this gauntlet in the Big Ten, Kyle, because Purdue's already seen one big injury this last Saturday that could be a hard one to overcome.
Yeah, Xander Horvath is out and looks like will be out at least for a while. And perhaps you'll get more of an update from Jeff Brohm later on this morning. But Purdue will ride with King DeRue and Dylan Downing, who I thought both looked pretty good. It just makes a position that was already thin even a little bit thinner.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, they scoured the portal all offseason looking for a veteran back, was unable to land one. So here we are. Now you're down your top back already. And who knows, like you said, it could be for an extended time. We'll find out more perhaps today. Yeah, you know, Purdue, I think we saw bits of it this last Saturday a little bit on the opener against Oregon State. Cal, they're going to try to utilize their wide receivers as ball carriers too. Not to any crazy extensive way. Maybe four or five times a game you'll see a guy like Jackson Anthrop or T.J. Sheffield or Marcellus Moore take a handoff, take a pitch, go on a jet sweep, maybe a quick pop pass. Just some way to get the ball in those hands, in the hands of those wideouts as ball carriers, to give that the element of the game more juice, more speed, and more elusiveness. Because like you said, you know, King DeRue, Dylan Downing, they're nice backs, Kyle, but they are a little bit more physical, and they're really probably never going to run away from anybody.
Jackson Anthrop did take one carry out of the backfield. Would he be the third running back at this point, or does Purdue have other options there?
Well, they have a true freshman, Jaquez Cross. I don't believe he got on the field last week, but, you know, he's a guy from Fordyce, Arkansas. He's not a real big guy, but he's awfully quick. Brings an element that Downey and Drew lack. It's just a matter of if the staff feels like he's up to speed and ready to go. You know, he was one guy they did talk about a little bit in training camp as somebody who caught their eye. So who knows, maybe he's a guy that get up to speed, maybe spoon feed early on and try to get some reps just to give that position a little bit more depth.
All right, so Purdue will head to Notre Dame this Saturday. One thing that I think, and they'll do so with a ton of confidence, I think. There shouldn't be many reasons why the Boilermakers should fear the Fighting Irish in this instance, right? I mean, other than it being in Notre Dame Stadium, not in Chicago, that Purdue shouldn't really fear Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame looks vulnerable. Purdue has played Jack Cohn, assuming he's the quarterback Purdue primarily sees on Saturday before, and he has, you know, just been okay. You know, Purdue goes there with a lot of confidence. I'm not saying Purdue's going to win the game, but they should be able to go there and compete.
Without a doubt. I mean, you look at Notre Dame's resume so far. They are 2-0, Kyle, opening with a 41-38 overtime win at Florida State, a Florida State team that just got beat on its home field by Jacksonville State. So not much of a win for the Irish there. And then, of course, last week, the mighty Toledo Rockets of the MAC had the Irish on the ropes in South Bend. So you're right. So why not Purdue, huh? I mean, you never want to, you know, you're never going to overlook anybody. I understand that. But this doesn't look like a vintage Brian Kelly Notre Dame team. This is like a Brian Kelly Notre Dame team still trying to find its way. So they have to be rattled a little bit, maybe a little self-doubt. He's got the confidence you talked about, so it's a nice recipe for the Boilermakers to see if they can go up there and win for the first time since 2004. You were probably there for the Taylor Stubblefield game, Kyle.
Yeah.
This will be Purdue's first trip to Notre Dame since 2012.
Yeah, wow, that's hard to believe. Does not seem like it has been that long. Here's my question for you, Tom, and I don't think this has happened recently for Purdue, or you could even make this claim if you were Purdue, probably since, oh gosh, I don't know, way back in 2004, 2005. When's the last time that Purdue very often, like nearly every Saturday, had the two best players on the field? Because it certainly happened. It certainly happened last week. I mean, Purdue probably had the 10 best players on the field, maybe more than that against UConn. I think it happened in week one. David Bell and George Karloftis were the two best players on the field. I don't know that it will happen this weekend against Notre Dame, but I think Purdue's in a conversation for potentially having the two best players on the field. And there will be a bunch of other games in which Purdue has the two best players on the field. That bodes well for Purdue's chances, doesn't it? I mean, when your stars are good, and Karloftis and Bell have been really good, it gives you a chance to win.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And there's guys like Jalen Graham, DeMarcus Mitchell, who may be pros. That defense has got some players back there. Corey Trice as well, Kyle. He could be a kind of a draftable guy. They've got some talent, especially on that side of the ball. And offensively, you know, we're always going to go back to the offensive line, right? Now you subtract Horvath. Can they get any type of a run game? Can they manufacture a run game? That's maybe the biggest conundrum facing Purdue now. As the opponents get better, more physical, bigger, stronger, faster, how can Purdue manufacture a ground game to get some type of balance? So I think the defense should be okay. I think Purdue's got more than enough weapons to pass the ball. Can they get some balance? Can they run the ball? Can they run the ball, Kyle, when they need to run the ball in the red zone? Third and short, fourth and one. To me, that's going to continue to hang over this team. And this is going to be a heck of a proving ground, sadly, up there at 2:30 Eastern time against the Notre Dame team that's always got players, buddy.
Right. Yeah, I don't care so much about the total yardage. Like, you know, is 100 yards the mark that Purdue needs to hit running football? I guess, you know, that would be nice. But it is more about those individual plays, right? It, as you said, it's more about the third and one at midfield that Purdue needs to pick up, or the fourth and one that it needs to get to extend a drive, or a first and goal from the eight, and that first carry goes for 4 or 5 yards to give you you know, a good second and third down opportunities. It's those plays within those 100-yard days that are much more important. And, you know, whether Purdue can do that against better opponents with DeRue and Downing is a question that we don't have the answer to yet.
Yeah, exactly right. No offense to Oregon State and UConn, but, you know, the lifting gets a lot heavier here. Again, Notre Dame, then you have the Big Ten begins then on the heels of this trip to South Bend with Illinois and Minnesota coming to Purdue on back-to-back weekends. So, yeah, we'll find out here real soon. You know, it's funny, Kyle, I was looking through the media guide today. I wondered to myself, when was the last time Purdue started 3-0? Can you tell me? I got the answer for you. I'll let you have a guess. Last time Purdue was 3-0.
Well, it would be last time they started 3-0. I'll go back Curtis Painter's senior year.
This was 2007. They started 5-0.
Yeah, that was Curtis's senior year, right? Yeah, they
I'm
started 5-0.
That.
I think that was the last time. I believe that was the last time Purdue was ranked. Also,
you're exactly right. That was going to be my segue here. Purdue beat Notre Dame. They got ranked. They were 5-0. Then Ohio State came to Rossage Stadium for a night game on October 6, 2007. Purdue got beat, fell out of the polls, Kyle, and has never been back in the polls since. I believe it's the longest drought, the longest AP top 25 poll drought of any FBS team in the country. And maybe, Kyle, if Purdue does win, they're a 7-point underdog this week. And if they do win, maybe Purdue sneaks back in the poll for what that's worth.
Wow, that would be something. But, yeah, I mean, that's a long time. Well, 14 years ago, back to 2007. That was such a weird team. I mean, to start 5-0 like it did and get ranked. And then that Ohio State game was a lot was not as close as what the final score indicated. Purdue just got physically beat up by the Buckeyes and you know, dropped a little bit back to reality. But, man, it's been a long time. It would be nice to see Purdue get there, but it's going to be a big game this weekend against Notre Dame. Hey, thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Brian Neubert. We'll do that here coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard-to-shop-for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's Grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle here with Brian talking a little bit of football. Purdue coming off its wallop. What's the word you use, Brian, for what we saw on Saturday against UConn? They boat race.
I like annihilation,
but the annihilation is good. Sometimes.
I like route. as well, but I also sometimes get confused between route and loot. So to keep it simple, you can always go with blowout or
womp, but it's good.
Something relatively simple. At the same time, you don't want to come off sounding like you are beating your chest over Purdue, you know, beating the hell out of UConn when Purdue, you know, is far and away the superior team here. And you don't want to make fun of UConn too much because this was a game they never stood a chance in.
No, they didn't. Purdue probably could have used its reserves and won that game by at least a couple of touchdowns. It just shows you how far away the Huskies are. Purdue will face a better opponent on Saturday in Notre Dame, to say the least. But you do feel like Purdue has a lot going for it in this game and has some confidence. I don't think that it should fear Notre Dame necessarily, though the environment in South Bend will be much different than the environment that Purdue has faced or faced this last Saturday. What are your thoughts about Purdue's chances, you know, going to a place that it hasn't won very often?
Yeah, I think Purdue has every reason in the world to feel pretty good about itself here. I think when you look at the first two games, other than maybe squandering some opportunities against Oregon State, you know, to score touchdowns when they ended up settling for field goals or settling for nothing, I think that this has been almost a best-case scenario, you know, kind of start to the season. Now, the Xander Horvath injury puts a little bit of a pall over that, but in terms of the actual product on the field, in terms of the way Purdue is playing, the way Purdue is executing, the way Purdue is, you know, for lack of a better term, taking care of business, I think this has been damn near a best-case scenario for them. And that should give them every reason in the world to go up to Notre Dame thinking that, you know, they can play with anybody. They might not beat Notre Dame, but I at this point I'd be surprised if, you know, they weren't at least competitive, whereas had last year's team, you know, gone up there, I wouldn't have felt that way with the way things went over the last four games of the season, you know, things like that. I think Notre Dame has obviously, you know, shown some vulnerability here, you know, in terms of them having to hold on for dear life at Florida State. Now, anytime you win at Florida State, no matter how mediocre Florida State has become, it doesn't matter how you win. That's still a pretty decent win. But then when you get pushed by Toledo to your breaking point, I mean, that speaks to, you know, this Notre Dame team having some work to do here. Notre Dame's had a bunch of injuries, I think. I don't know exactly where they are from a personnel standpoint for Saturday, but Purdue's playing pretty well, and they're going up to a place that, you know, has shown some vulnerability here. So Purdue should have every reason to go up there, maybe not necessarily expecting to win. I'm sure that's the mentality they have to take, though, but believing they can. And I think that's a pretty big part of the intangible difference this team seems to be showing. It just seems like this is a much more confident team. This is a much more together team. This is a much more engaged team than the one you saw at the end of last year's weird pandemic season.
Yeah. I posed this question to Tom, and I'll ask you also, you know, I don't know that it necessarily happens this weekend at Notre Dame, but when is the last time in Purdue history that it has very often had the best offensive player on the field and the best defensive player on the field when you combine the two teams?
Well, I'd go back to probably Drew Brees on offense and whoever their defensive end of the day was back then. You know, there were probably some games there against the Northwesterns of the world or somebody like that where Purdue had the best player on both sides of the ball. You know, Aiken Adell there for a while was probably somebody who was the best defensive player in some of those games, but that's probably as far back as it would go. But right now they obviously do. David Bell and George Karlaftis are going to be the best players on both sides of the ball in a lot of games. Again, I don't know, as you said before, I don't know about this week, but I don't know who on Notre Dame is better than either of those guys. And, you know, there's going to be games in the Big Ten where you get to the Ohio States and whatnot where obviously there's going to be eight first-round picks in that game, and six of them are going to be playing for Ohio State, but two of them are going to be playing for Purdue. Yeah. And, you know, David Bell is playing at just an elite level. George Karlaftis is playing at an elite level. And that was your best chance this year. I mean, you have two elite players, one on each side of the ball, and those guys had to be good, and those guys haven't just been good. They've been, you know, fantastic. They have been phenomenal.
Yeah, you called David Bell Purdue's best receiver ever. At Purdue has had some good receivers, and David Bell's career is not over. Game and a half, he's been pretty darn good this year. I mean, the way he makes difficult plays look so routine, I think is you know, just unbelievable. He is a really good football player. He's a really good football player who, when you look at him, you don't think, man, this guy is a really good football player. And then you watch him play and you're like, man, this guy is a really, really good football player. He just knows how to play. He sort of knows what he's doing. He knows what his teammates are doing. And he knows what the defense is doing on every play. And he can anticipate those things and use that information to make himself better. And it's just it's really amazing to watch.
Yeah, the best comparison I've heard made was the one Jeff Braun made last year where he invoked Jerry Rice. Now, I'm not in any way, shape, or form, nor was Jeff Braun saying that David Bell is going to be Jerry Rice. But he's that player where it's you kind of look at him, he's not the biggest guy. You know, he's not DK Metcalf from a physical perspective. He's not the fastest guy necessarily, but he's just an unbelievable wide receiver. He just knows how to play. He has a certain effortlessness about him. He's always open. He makes just about every play that's there to be made. He's, as I wrote in my thing this morning, he kind of redefines possible sometimes in terms of balls that can be caught. You know, there was that play at UConn, and obviously when I wrote that thing about him being the greatest wide receiver in Purdue history, I don't think that's all that outlandish a take because when you look at it, it's like, well, it was probably Rondale Moore before, you know, before David Bell. But there was that – I'm not basing that as lukewarm as it might be on just the UConn game. Obviously, that wasn't a thing based in the moment. That was a total body of work sort of thing. But when you look at the UConn game, that play, that touchdown he almost caught between those two guys in the end zone, like you would never even thought that might have been caught for a second if it wasn't David Bell. And that's kind of what he does. You just kind of assume that when the ball goes his way and it's an impossible catch to be made, he's going to make it. When you look at what he did at the end of that run where he got knocked off balance at the 15-yard line and then plowed through a bunch of guys and finished that run, that was Rondale Moore against Ohio State. I mean, that was something that wide receivers aren't supposed to do. And that's something that, you know, 200-pound wide receivers aren't supposed to do. And he just has a certain it factor about him. And he's had it ever since I can remember. I remember the first time I went to see him play live. I saw him play like a quarter. And I'm like, this kid is a star. Because he just had something about him. And things are different when you see players live, when you see them from the sideline, as opposed to watching them on film or watching them on TV. It is different. You can kind of tell. I remember at the NCAA tournament a few years ago watching John Morant play from courtside. It is just different. You just see how they move. You just see the speed they operate at, and you just see how much they're exerting themselves to do what they do, and you can just tell when a guy is special. And it was evident right away that David Bell was special, and he has been special in every way, shape, and form possible during his Purdue career, and it wouldn't surprise me off if he's a pretty good pro.
Yeah, you're right about the ball being, you know, balls being thrown into traffic where you're watching it either in person or you know, on TV, and you're like, well, that is no chance. And then you realize it's David Bell, and then you realize he did somehow catch it, and you're like, oh, well. Okay. I'm going to have to watch the replay to see exactly how that happened, but somehow he caught that ball, even though, you know, watching it live, there was no chance that it was going to be complete. I mean, it's just, and that happens, you know, once a game where you're just like, what? How did that, we got to slow this down and watch it again. How did that happen?
Let me take you back to that first down he made at Illinois in week two last year. That was one of the biggest plays, you know, in Purdue football over the last couple of years, because Purdue was walking a slippery slope there. You know, things had started going south for them at halftime of that Illinois game, and, you know, that would have been a catastrophic loss had they blown that. And if David Bell doesn't make that unbelievable first down catch there late in the fourth quarter or however much time was left on the clock, Illinois is getting the ball back, I think, with a chance to win that game, right? And that was just an unbelievable play that no one else is going to make. I don't want to necessarily say there was one wide receiver in college football who would have made that play, but, you know, there weren't many. That's just what I'm talking about. He has that knack for the moment. He has that knack for that play. He's just an unbelievable player, just a brilliant player.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Brian. Big week. We'll talk to you later.
No problem. See you, man.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that coming up next. You're listening to Golden Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or special events in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with the top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G at jfqlending.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway.
Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
And that'll do it for the podcast this week. Thanks to our sponsors, including Whitaker Inn, which joined us here recently. We do appreciate the support. We will be back again with this podcast on Friday. It will drop around noon. Be sure to subscribe to Gold and Black Radio. Listen wherever you are listening right now as Purdue gets ready to take on Notre Dame. Much more as we preview that matchup at goldandblack.com. For Tom Dienhardt and Brian Dubert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.